Let's turn this morning to our lesson. I hope you've got a handout this morning. And we are in 1 Peter chapter number 3. And we're going to read verses 13 to 17. That's our next section as we study through this wonderful book. I'm enjoying studying through books of the Bible this year. I hope that's been a blessing. Last year was more topical messages. And this year we're going to, we're trying to go verse by verse in as much detail as we can. And 1 Peter chapter number 3, another wonderful passage of Scripture. And our lesson this morning is entitled, Be Strong in Your Answer. Be strong in your answer. Here in these verses, God says, doesn't He? We need to be ready to give an answer. So this is another area that God wants us to have victory in, to be ready in. Let's look at verses 13 to 17 this morning. The Bible says in verse 13, And who is he that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Now, I'm sure you've heard some of these verses before, and we're going to learn a little bit more about them this morning. And as you look at your notes, there aren't any blanks at the moment, but just by way of introduction, let me say this, that our life involves being ready. Readiness is a part of life. Now, if you set your alarm clock, and this is, I talk from experience, if you set your alarm clock and it goes off, but in your heart, the night before, you are not prepared or ready to get up at that time, when the alarm clock goes off, you will not get up, isn't that right? You'll clamber for the snooze button, you'll try and hit it as hard as you can, and if we are not ready, we won't get up. If we're not ready for, if our kids aren't ready for the school bus, they'll miss the bus. You know, readiness is a part of life. When work starts, we need to be not only there on time, we need to be ready to work when that time starts, because that's when we start getting paid. So readiness is a part of life, isn't it? You know, as a expectant father, more so in this last stage of Cindy's pregnancy, I'm realizing we need to be ready at any time. And we need to have that bag packed ready to go, and need to have some plans in place. And mums, you'll know what I mean. And readiness is a part of life. And here this morning, God speaks about the subject of readiness, doesn't He? Here in these verses, the Bible says in verse 15, and be ready always. Be ready always. When we think about being ready, as spoken of in the Bible, what do we often think about when it comes to being ready? What's the greatest thing? Yes, Brother Hugh. Yes, amen. We need to be ready for the rapture as Christians. Absolutely. And if we're not saved, what do we need to be ready for? Well, we need to be ready for death. We need to make sure we are saved. But you know, as Christians, sometimes, even though we're saved, we're ready to go to heaven, but that doesn't mean we're ready to live the Christian life. You see, there's a difference. There's a difference between being ready to go to heaven and being ready to live. You see, these passages are talking about you and I being ready to live the Christian life, being ready to give an answer. See, once we've entered through the door of salvation, we need to hurry through the door of service, amen? Because the time is at hand, the rapture is coming. We need to serve the Lord while we still have time. And here Peter was dealing with something that affects all of our lives. The opportunity and the responsibility that we have to be a witness, here in 1 Peter chapter number 3. So as we think about this book, remember, who was Peter writing to? What kind of difficulties were these Christians facing? Well, horrific persecution. And I don't know about you, the natural response that I have when someone attacks me, and even if, especially if it's a mob of people, a group of people, I tend to shy away, to back off. Have you ever been mocked for your faith and gone home and thought to yourself, I never want to witness again? You know, that's the natural response of our sinful nature, to back off, to be fearful and weak and carnal and not trusting in the Lord. And yet I can imagine that these believers, knowing that they could most likely face death and a torturous death at that, if they would witness in their day under the persecution of Nero and how the Christians were blamed for the fires in Rome and how they became the scapegoats of all the world's problems. Can you imagine how tempting it would have been for them to do what you and I often do, hide away, just hide away in their own little church groups, perhaps in an isolated place, lock the doors, close the shutters, worship among themselves and maybe not tell anyone else. That's not God's will, you see. And Peter was encouraging them that though they face a real present fear, they have nothing to fear. Notice verse 13 as a way of introduction. Notice how Peter encourages them, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Now that doesn't mean if we follow the Lord and do that which is good, we won't face persecution. That's not what he's saying. But Peter is saying, don't forget, if you are saved, if you're following the Lord, what harm can people really do for you? Because if the worst thing that can happen to a Christian is death and then going straight to heaven, what can people do to us? What is the worst thing that can happen? If we die, my friends, immediately we will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so before we worry about the bad things that might happen, we need to remember if we are children of God, we have a home in heaven, and God's looking after us, amen? Nothing in our lives happens outside of the complete control of God. Isn't that true? Absolutely. And God wanted to use these Christians in this day as a flaming witness for His glory. And verse 14 says, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Here we see once again the intensity of the persecution. See the word terror? You know, some of these Christians were possibly tempted to be terrified, of the extreme wickedness. And we know the devil was involved in this kind of wickedness of persecuting Christians. This was demonic. The Roman Empire was demonic. There were demonic spirits, principalities and powers in high places of government and authority. And we know they were facing great persecution. But the Bible says, be not afraid of their terror. Because Timothy says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. If we trust in the Lord that He'll take care of us, we don't need to be afraid, amen? In our heart of hearts, we don't need to be afraid. In fact, the Bible says we are to be ready. We need to be ready to witness. Let me remind you that many, many millions of believers went to a fiery death and stepped into eternity in glory because of their witness for Christ. They were saved, and each one that saw them saw an amazing testimony. You can't imagine someone singing out the praises of the Lord as they're being thrown to lions, as they're being burnt at the stake, and those seeing the overcoming joy of these saints. So keep those things in mind as we look at this lesson, being strong in your answer. There in your notes, the first blank and the first lesson we see this morning is readiness involves a person. Readiness involves a person. So if you're filling in your blanks this morning, the first blank is the word person. Readiness involves a person. Now, can you see that in verse 15? Notice what the Bible says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. So if we are going to be ready to be a witness, what do we need to make sure? We need to make sure that our readiness involves a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Now the word sanctify means to consecrate, to make holy. And the idea is we need to have the Lord Jesus on our hearts. Amen? We need to We need to make the Lord Jesus the center of our lives. You know, you and I can try and witness as much as we would like, but if the Lord Jesus Christ is not the center of our lives, we are going to struggle, especially when it comes to persecution. So as we are looking in 1 Peter chapter 3, and as we look at verses 13 to 17, as we think of the persecution of these believers and the torturous death that many of them would face for their witness, Peter encouraged them, first of all, that they need to make sure they stay close to the Lord. They need to make sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is their strength. So when it comes to witnessing, when it comes to persecution, they will respond in the right way. So you see, it takes a person to be ready. Sometimes we think about, okay, I need to learn more, I need to know more. But before we learn some things from the Bible to help us to be a witness, we need to make sure that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? Not only as our Savior, but as our Lord, that we are following Him daily in our lives. You see, the Bible says readiness involves a person, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now, people can discourage us as we witness. You know, if someone throws a tract back in your face or says nasty words, we can get discouraged. But you might be like me this morning. The number one person that often discourages us is who? Ourselves, that's right. You know, we can be so fearful, we can be so carnal, we can be so selfish, and when we receive a wrong response, you know, usually the problem isn't the oppressor, but it's the oppressed. Usually the problem is you and I. Why? Because we've taken our eyes off the Lord, haven't we? We've cast our eyes back on ourselves. And I've been there, as I'm sure you have been. And we thought to ourselves, woe is me. I don't deserve this. What have I done wrong? And you know what we've done? We've taken our eyes off the Lord. What does Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tell us? Looking unto Jesus, that's right. Verses 1 and 2 in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 2 that we need to look unto Jesus. How can we be strong and be ready with an answer? Well, the Bible says we need to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. He needs to be in our hearts. He needs to be our desire. He needs to be the Lord for our lives. And when things get difficult, the Lord is our strength. Amen. See, readiness involves a person. It's good to sharpen your sword and memorize more verses, but don't get overwhelmed with the practical side of witnessing and forget about the person of our witness, the Lord. You see, the closer we get to the Lord, the greater witness you and I will be. Christian life is about a relationship. Don't forget that. Especially when it came to this intensity of persecution that these believers were facing. They needed to remember the author and finisher of their faith. That's what the Bible tells us. I put those verses in your notes there, so I hope you can see them there. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Now, the great cloud of witnesses are those who have gone before us. Men and women of God, of the faith, young people that have died in the Lord, and a great cloud of witnesses has gone before us. But the Bible says we're not to look to them first and foremost. We're to look to the author and finisher of our faith. Because, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who saves us. That's when our faith begins. And then He is the one that's waiting at the end of that finish line. Amen? Now, it's so important that we look unto the Lord, that we keep our eyes on the Lord. The moment we look away, we will be fearful. We will hide in our homes. We will hide the gospel in our hearts, won't we? Isn't that true? Take our eyes off the Lord, we will stop witnessing. We need to keep our eyes on the finish line and remember the Lord is with us. He's there waiting for us and He's encouraging us along the way. Now, when I was in primary school, I was the fastest runner in our school. And I had grown a little bit taller than the rest, so I could move a little bit faster. But then when we moved to Canberra and I went to an all-boys public school, how many of you can imagine that every boy wanted to be the fastest one in the school? So, needless to say, I was no longer the fastest runner in the school anymore. And sports was a huge part of the school that I went to. I wasn't saved, and everyone wanted to be the best and to win. And usually I never won anything. I tried as best as I could. And I do remember, though, one year we had the swimming carnival. And my uncle considered himself a bit of a swimming teacher, and I committed to taking some lessons from him one year in order to do better in the races at the swimming carnival. I was hoping I could win for the first time, so he helped me out for about a month and practiced and trained. And on the day, I remember standing at the diving blocks ready to start the race. And at that stage, our house group, you know how in the school there are different house groups? Our house group was at the bottom. And usually, actually, we weren't doing quite well. And I remember the house master, the teacher, standing on the side, yelling at the top of his lungs, the name of our house. And everyone was cheering. And I felt this load of expectation to win the race, to get some extra points. And you know, as the firing gun blew, and as I dived into the water, I couldn't hear anything for a few seconds. Then as I came up, the cheering was overwhelming. I was in line with everyone else, and I was trying as hard as I could. But then I saw the housemaster basically losing it and cheering and yelling and encouraging me to keep going on. And then I saw my brother, my older brother, at the end of the swimming pool, right there in front of me, cheering to keep pressing on. And my arms were tired, my legs were turning into jelly. And you know how it is when you're swimming and you're puffed out, you want to stop. Oh, why don't we let everyone else win? But just seeing those ones at the finish line, on the sidelines, encouraged me to keep going, to keep pressing on. And in the end, I remember this memory because I won the race, the only race I ever won. And though I won that race, I didn't make it into the next round. But that's good humbling anyway. But I do remember the encouragement I received to keep going and to not give up by the ones that were standing by, encouraging me to press on. You see, the Lord is that encourager in our life. He is our Lord and Savior. He is the one that is right there with us and right there standing at the end of the race, cheering us home, amen. If we would only catch a glimpse of the presence of the Lord in our lives, how encouraged we would be. If we would only know that as we go to a door and witness to people, that the Lord is standing right there, how encouraged would we be in our witness, amen. How much more boldness would we have as in our witness? How much boldness would we have if we talk to someone in our workplace or witness on out in the public and we know the Lord is right there with us? We need to keep our eyes on the Lord, brethren, because being ready involves a person. You might have some struggles in your life at this time, and you might say, "Look, I don't know how I'm going to get through this trial right now." You know, forget about witnessing. I just want to get through this problem in my life. Remember, the Lord is right there. And we need to look unto Him. In fact, His strength, what did Paul say? Is made perfect in our weakness. Do you feel weak as a witness this morning? Well, that's good. All the more possibility for you and I to rely on the Lord. See, readiness involves a person. Stay close to the Lord, brethren. Secondly, readiness involves preparation. Your next blank in your notes is the word preparation. Now, we do need to prepare, amen? First and foremost, we need the Lord. And we need to allow Him to be our Lord, keep our eyes on Him. We prepare our hearts, but we also need to prepare to give an answer. Readiness involves preparation. The Bible says in verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, it's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing to serve. We need to be ready, not just to be saved and be ready for an eternity with the Lord, but we need to be ready to give an answer. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. Now, where do the answers of our faith come from? Difficult question on an early Sunday morning. Where do all the answers of our faith come from? Amen. From the Word of God. From the Word of God. I'm glad it's not complicated. As we look to the Word of God, we have every answer for every question anyone will ask. Isn't that right? I don't know about you, but when I was first saved, I remembered I had this great burden to know everything about how to be a witness, to read all these soul-winning books, which are good in their place, and if they're good ones, to read more biographies about great soul winners and missionaries. And the relieving truth I came to was that God's Word has all the answers. God's Word has all the examples we need of people being saved. How are people saved? What do they need to know to be saved? Well, the Bible tells us, amen? Amen. The Word of God tells us how people are saved. Come on in, welcome. Now, if we want to know how we can be a better witness, here it is. The Word of God. The answers are right here. If we have a friend we want to witness to and we think, oh, I just need to know more, and somehow maybe I need to get enrolled in a Bible college course and do an intense series of training weeks, and I need to somehow get the word doctor in front of my name before I can witness. Brethren, that is not true. We have the Word of God. What we need to do is to be in the Word. Amen? Because readiness involves preparation. That's what we're talking about this morning, being ready to witness. It involves a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, but then it involves preparation. Let me ask you this morning, are you preparing yourself each day to give an answer? You know, people will come across our paths every day, but are we ready? Are we spending time in the Word of God? Now, during our read through your Bible in a year plan, some of you may be in the book of Acts at this time of the year. If you're following that plan, if you're a little behind, you're probably a little bit towards the beginning of the book. But isn't the book of Acts a wonderful example of practical soul winning? Now, we understand that events that took place in the book of Acts were only for that specific time, such as laying on of hands and speaking in tongues. And we understand the purpose of miracles during that time of transition. But we do see people led to the Lord, and also soul winners used of God. We see some amazing, helpful, and encouraging lessons from the Word of God to help us in our witness. So let me encourage you this morning. If you want to be ready to give an answer, you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared. You know, the world wants to tell us that there are 1,000,001 ways to get to God. Every road leads to Rome, the world says. But you see, that's not what the Bible says. And even as Christians, we can grow soft in our witness and in our zeal for the Lord by the pressure of the world, by the false teaching of the world. We can be overwhelmed with that pressure, and even you and I can soften in our witness for the Lord, can't we? You know, the Bible tells us very clearly, as we read God's Word, the exclusiveness of salvation. You know, Peter, as he preached to the multitudes, he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You see, if we spend time in the Word of God, you will become more bold in your witness, because you will be reminded each day, hang on a second, it's only through Christ. Every single soul I come across each day, if I believe what I'm seeing here, and as the Lord prepares my heart, every single soul that doesn't have Christ will go to an eternal place of torment and separation from God. A place called hellfire. You see, you and I won't be prepared to witness if we're not in the Word. It's very simple. We need to be ready to give an answer. If you want to be ready, make sure you stay close to the Lord, the person of our readiness, and also the preparation of our readiness is right here in the Word of God. And let me say this. As we spend time in the Word, God will train us and help us. But also we have practical help right here at the local New Testament church. Amen. The Bible says we are to exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, the time is at hand. And our witness needs to be even more bold, even more personal and confrontational because of the day in which we live. And we need to encourage one another to do that, don't we? You know, the more of us that witness, the more encouraged I can be to be a witness. The more you witness, the more encouraged I am. The more I witness, the more encouraged you are to be a witness. We help each other along in church. It's in church that we go through, for example, specific courses on soul winning and focus times on how to lead a soul to Christ, as we just have had over the past 8 weeks. And, you know, in church we also learn about stories of salvation. During our youth group times, we've been going through a series, when we do have youth group, on stories of salvation. Let's not only look at how they were saved, but how the Lord used the one that led them to Christ. Excellent lessons. But when are they taught? How are they taught? Well, right here in the church, in the local New Testament church. Don't forget about the importance of the house of God. And we'll also have opportunities, amen. We have some special meetings coming up, some meetings about the subject of prophecy. We did some letterboxing yesterday, and we're going to follow those invitations up with some visits in our community as well. But you know, as you join in and become part of the local New Testament church, there will be opportunities for all of us to witness together. You know, and if you are like me and worry and fear at times, well, we'll just encourage each other along, amen? We'll do it together. We won't send you out on a street by yourself. We'll send someone with you to go on the other side, amen? So when you turn around, you can see, okay, there's my sister in the Lord. There's my brother in the Lord. We're doing this together, amen? Amen? We'll go to the door together. We'll go to the street together. We'll hand out invitations and preach the gospel together. Seeing being ready involves preparation. And being part of the church will help us to be the witnesses God wants us to be. Let me ask you this morning, are you ready to be a witness? You might be ready for heaven because you're saved, but are you ready to live? Are you ready to serve the Lord? Lastly, notice with me the third point in our notes as we close. Readiness involves purity. Readiness involves purity. That's your last blank. If you've missed any blanks, they're at the bottom page, the back page at the bottom. Lastly, the Lord tells us if we want to be ready to give an answer, we need to be serious about this issue of purity in our lives. Isn't that what the Bible says? Notice verse 16. Let's read this verse together out loud on two, shall we? One, two. Having a good conscience that, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You see, the Bible tells us if we want to be ready to witness, we need to be pure. We need to regard the issue of purity. The Bible says we are to have a good conscience. Now, our conscience is not God. But God gave us a conscience to help us. And the Bible says very clearly, if we want to be effective witnesses, we need to have a clean conscience. We need to have a good conscience. You see, if you and I want to reach out to others, and we all have people in our lives that we have a burden for, if we want to see those souls potentially led to Christ, first of all, we need to ask the hard question, what do they see in my life? Do I have a good conscience? And now remember, that's internal. They may not see your conscience, but you do. You do. And if we are living a lie as a Christian, my friends, if we are living like the devil at home and looking like a saint on Sunday, my friends, we won't be able to witness. We won't have a clear conscience. We won't have a good conscience. You see, the Bible says we can't deceive people about our lives and be ready. The person who lives a lie can't have peace in his heart. And the Lord can't use a Christian whose life is not pure, as pure as it can be, of course. Now, in a moment we'll have morning tea. And if you were to go ahead and grab a cup of tea or coffee, put your hand up this morning if any of you would grab a dirty cup for yourselves to have a cup of tea out of. Anyone here this morning that would grab a dirty, filthy cup with holes in it that looks like a mess, it's been half crushed? Is that the kind of cup that you would use for a tea, cup of tea or coffee? Yes or no?
No, absolutely not.
Now, I'm not surprised no one put up their hand. Now, when it comes to being used of the Lord, and it's only in the Lord's hands we can be used, amen. When it comes to being used of the Lord, the Bible says we are vessels in the Lord's hands. And God will not use a dirty vessel. He will not use a dirty vessel. He cannot fill a dirty vessel with the Spirit of God. My friends, we need to understand that before we can be witnesses, we need to address the sins in our lives. Now, though God cannot use a dirty vessel, let's be encouraged about the fact that He can clean a dirty vessel. Amen. Did you read David's psalm this morning? Psalm 51, is that right? David's psalm of repentance. And he spoke to the Lord and he said, Lord, wash me clean. And he spoke to the Lord and he prayed and he said, Lord, I know you can cleanse me. I know you can wash me completely clean. And then I can be a witness. Then shall sinners be converted unto thee. See, first of all, David needed to deal with his own heart. So are we ready? Are we ready? See, being ready is not just about memorizing some verses and having a pocket Bible right ready to go. Now, that's good to have. Amen. But you see, if our conscience is defiled, and if we've been watching filth on the TV on Friday night, don't bother coming to soul winning on Saturday morning. Amen. No, that's not how it works. We need to be close with the Lord. We need to be in the Word of God. And we need to deal with the sins in our life. Thank God the Bible says if we confess our sins as Christians, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And a clean vessel, don't underestimate it, will be used of God if we regard purity. See, readiness involves purity. Notice lastly in verse 16, the Bible says that though we may be pure, though we may be seeking to be as clean as we can, as best as we can, that doesn't mean that people will not say evil things against us. Notice verse 16, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. The word conversation means your life. Now, people will accuse you of things that you never did. Has that ever happened to you before? Have you ever been accused of something you never did? Let me encourage you with this truth. That's part of the Christian life. Because you remember, if we're following the Lord was the one who went before us. He was accused of everything under the sun that He never did. The sinless Lamb of God was slain for your sins and mine, but He was nailed to the cross and accused for things that He never did. In fact, He was lied about, slandered. They brought in false accusers to lie about the Lord. And He never did anything that they said He did. Now, just because you're living a pure life doesn't mean you won't be accused. But we can live in a way that will prove our accusers wrong. Isn't that right? The Bible says if you're accused of something you didn't do or someone that you are not and someone accuses you of that, you can rejoice because you have a clean conscience. You can rejoice because God knows your heart. You can rejoice that in time to come as you live a godly life, people will see that what they're saying is not true. But let's be honest, if what they're saying is true, if they're pointing to sins in our life and say, hey, you're just like me. You go to the same place as I do. You listen to the same music I do. You're involved in the same filthy habits that I am. Well, we deserve that kind of persecution. We deserve that kind of suffering. The Bible says we're going to suffer one way or another as Christians. Either we will suffer because our testimony is damaged, because we're not living for the Lord, or we'll suffer for doing right. But in that suffering, we can rejoice. In that suffering, we can be glad, knowing that we are approved of the Lord, knowing that we can continue to witness for the Lord despite what people say. We need to be examples in purity. Now, do you want to be a better witness this morning, yes or no?
Amen.
Well, readiness involves a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He needs to be in the forefront of our hearts, and we need to focus on the Lord, looking unto Jesus. Readiness involves preparation in the Word of God and in the church of the living God. And then thirdly, readiness involves purity. Are our lives as clean as they possibly can be? Are we ready today? Now, we can try to witness in the flesh, but the Bible says, well, the Lord Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. Let me encourage you, church family. Let's ask the Lord to look at our hearts. Amen. Let's help him. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning to be better witnesses. We need to be. That's what our yearly theme is all about. The time is at hand. We've got no time to lose. We need to be out there preaching the gospel. But are we ready? Will you allow the Lord to ready you this week through the truths that you've learned? I trust they've been a help this morning.